house for the Holy Spirit. God wants us to truly trust Him, to take Him at His word. Do you? Do you really take God at His word? You're going to need to, friends. As the time comes, there's going to be terrible testing come. Terrible testing. Don't think you're just going to be out of here before any testing. The Bible says we have to be prepared for the time of testing. That's right. Get prepared. Prepare the way of the Lord in your life for history's final hour. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner with us, will you? Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Do it today. Don't delay. And don't wait for the other guy who isn't doing it.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. Well, our guest this evening is Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster, and we're going to be talking about the demise of the American, in fact, of the world monetary system we're witnessing today. Most people can't imagine what happens when a monetary system collapses, but this is in the process of taking place today. As we see, about a 10% inflation. Of course, the government's lying to you about that. We see a contracting gross domestic product because, of course, gross domestic product is determined by taking the product of all of the buying and selling and commerce in a country and subtracting the amount of inflation. That gives you the GDP. But if you lie about the amount of inflation, then you lie about the GDP. And everything suggests that the gross domestic product is actually contracting, not, of course, expanding at 2 or 3%, as we're being told. Certainly the unemployment rate is high, and they're not being objective about that. The economy is not good, but more than that, the monetary system is the process of simply collapsing. We're seeing, of course, the fall of the price of the value of the dollar, the rise of gold and silver. Now the countries will not buy our treasury our agency bonds. So the Federal Reserve is simply having to create banking entries and create money so they can buy up our bonds, and we're financing our own deficits. Bob Chapman, you pick up the story.
Well, to hear you talk, I would think that you worked a lifetime on Wall Street.
No, I've had a very good teacher, Bob Chapman.
Well, thank you very much. No, the economy is not doing well, and it'll continue to deteriorate. I think without the QE2, we probably would have had probably a minus 2% growth, as opposed to, I think the numbers are going to come out for the second quarter somewhere around a plus 2.25%, which I predicted, and it'll be that way for the rest of the year. Even if they crank up something like a QE3, they won't call it that because no one will accept it. And they have to keep on doing it, because if they don't, the game's over. Now, I think the question is, do they want the game to be over? I don't think so, for all the indications I've seen. And I think they realize that they're going to have to pick the right spot, and they're being pushed into it. And that's because you and I and others are breathing down their necks. And they've had enough meetings recently to point out that they're very concerned that this isn't going to work for them. And if it doesn't work, they're dead ducks.
Well, if they continue doing what they're doing by pouring money into the economy, why, they're going to destroy the value of the currency. If they don't continue what they're doing, they're going to destroy the economy. It's sort of like no matter which way they go, we lose.
That's correct.
And, of course, I think that the worst thing that can happen is to destroy the value of our currency and steal the life savings of so many of our people. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest, Bob Chapman, if you have a question, give us a call. Bob, you pick up the story as to what's going on. What in the world is happening to silver? It was up dramatically this morning, then it was down dramatically. I've never seen a day where silver gyrated as
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verki water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verki water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Few years ago, that they were intentionally manipulating the gold market at the instructions of the federal government. In other words, the federal government violating our laws. Well, they didn't really violate them. They had an executive order that lets them do this. But, of course, we can't let the American people know that the system is all rigged. They rigged the stock market. They rigged the commodity market. They rigged the gold and silver markets. Even been admitted in court, but you'll never read about that. because the media is controlled by the very people who are doing the rigging. They all tie into what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Under any circumstances, Bob is describing what they've been doing to the price of silver, which they've got down, and then what happened in the aftermarket today?
Well, first of all, the spot market was up $5.60, and the June market was up $4. In silver, the spot was up $1.21, and the outside market was up, if I'm going to read my own writing here, 93 cents. And then in the outside market, which is the annex, auxiliary market, we'll call it, gold is up 1260. It's off 1170 right now. And the silver was off 127. It's off 124. And when we finish this program, I'll get the remainder of the prices. But the point here is the manipulation is absolutely, unequivocally rampant and right in your face. I mean, anybody who's been on Wall Street for any amount of time has to know what these people are doing. And a lot of pros are taking advantage of it by going long silver and gold because they know that Morgan and HSBC and their silver positions, which are naked, and they have no silver, and they're leveraged 45 to 1. The bill that they've accumulated right now is somewhere around $90 billion. And they're either going to have to partially default, or have the Fed come in and pay their bill. And, of course, that means the American public will be paying that bill. And that's where they're at right now. They're desperate. They don't know what to do. And it's going to get a lot worse. And so I think that what you're seeing here, and incidentally, gold and silver options expire tomorrow. And that'll be the end of that for another month. And so that won't be a factor to the commercials, which are the banks, who have sold those options to other people. And I expect that if the market doesn't turn tomorrow right back up again, it'll do it in the next couple of days after that. They can't keep it down. They don't have the power to do it. And in silver and gold, both extremely powerful buying coming from all over Asia and the Middle East, and particularly from China. The Chinese are... they want silver at $100, and they're going to get it there. And so that's what the gold and silver suppression cartel are having to put up with. And they're going to lose. And once they do, the whole tide will turn against them. And then they're going to get exposed totally for what they're doing. And hopefully they will not be able to create a third world war in that process, trying to cover their tracks. But they're not going to get away with this. They think they are. They think they're all powerful. And I got news for them. They're not going to make it this time. And we are not going to play Mr. Nice Guy.
Well, I think it's important that the American people learn what's going on, that certainly our reality is created by the people who control the media, and because they want to divert us with all sorts of nonsensical things. Oh, the royal wedding's coming up, and Lindsay Lohan got caught, you know, stealing a pearl necklace, and as any Tiger Woods, as Sidney, never really gotten back to his game that he had before he was exposed having all of his affairs. And they focus our attention on all sorts of unimportant issues, on baseball, on basketball. And the whole world is going up in flame. People are dying all throughout the world. Suddenly we are financing the rebels in Libya. Nobody ever asks Who are the rebels? I mean, who's behind the rebels? Who financed the rebels? Do the rebels really represent the people of Libya? Or are they simply a group of people who were hired to create a revolution by our intelligence agencies because we wanted to topple Gaddafi, exactly as we wanted to topple Mubarak and then the ruler of Tunisia and the CIA and MI6 and the intelligence agencies behind all of the revolutionary movement over in the Near East and the Middle East? We don't talk about that sort of thing. We focus on all sorts of unimportant issues. And, of course, in many ways, this is really a diversion from what is really important, and that is, of course, the breakdown of our monetary system, which will leave people whose fortunes, wealth is invested in dollars and CDs and retirement funds and pensions and annuities and bonds. They're going to just lose literally everything they have. I know a lot. So many people are in bonds because bonds are defensive. That's where you go when you want to protect yourself, and especially into T-bonds. Are T-bonds a good investment at this time, Bob?
Not at all. Not with my money.
Well, we know that
it's just as simple as that, and I don't think any sovereign bonds in any currency are worthwhile. I think the only place to be is in gold and silver related assets, and sooner or later, the interest rates are going to rise, and bonds will go down, and at the same time, we will have a fall in the stock market due to the lack of earnings, and investors coming to the conclusion that this all isn't going to work. But I'll tell you right now that they're going to have a QE3, and it's going to be a big one. And you're talking something in the order of $2.5 trillion. And they have to do that unless they want the system to go down, and this is the spot. I don't know that, and I don't think anybody else does, including them. And I understand that Soros and Kissinger and Brzezinski have been talking, and they're terrified. I mean, they think the game's over. They are absolutely, they don't know what to think. They are totally terrified. And so this is in motion. I think they're trying to pick this spot. And we don't know when they'll do that. But we do know one thing, that they have to go forward. And if they don't, then the whole thing will just crumble on its own. And so that's where this whole thing's headed. There's nothing they can do to change anything. They created the die and cast it. The last time they could have turned it around was June of 2003, and that's not going to happen anymore because it's been passed. The point of no return has been passed.
Well, basically, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. The president of the World Bank, Mr. Zolnick, I believe is his name, Zolnick, basically a member of the Trilateral Commission, basically said recently that the monetary system is just one major crisis away from what was it, collapse, some words to that effect. I mean, one major, incident could collapse the monetary system. That's a rather frightening statement coming from somebody who was the president of the World Bank, and of course, since he is one of the insiders, one of the Brotherhood of Darkness, he would certainly know what's going on. Why would he be putting information out there that would hopefully draw people's attention to the seriousness of the problem?
Well, maybe they're ready to pull the plug. I mean, we just don't know. I don't think so, but maybe. Probable. again, we don't know, and all we can do is guess. So we have to continue to keep doing what we're doing to protect ourselves, freeze-dried, dehydrated food, water filter, something to defend your family. And if you have extra money, gold and silver coins and shares. And in the end, it'll work out if you survive. I think it's going to get pretty nasty because these people know they're going down. They're going to try to take everybody with them.
Well, I think pretty much rather frightening, ladies and gentlemen. Basically, there's tremendous unrest throughout the world. I certainly see the structure of society breaking down in the Middle East. But we see the increase in the tempo of violence and senseless murders and crime here in the United States. And, of course, most of our state and local communities are underfunded. And how are they dealing with this? Well, here in California, we're releasing prisoners from the prisons. We're laying off police officers. What does that suggest to you that the future holds? Let's go to Herman giving a call here from Carmel, and we'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman right here at Radio Liberty. Herman, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, thank you for Bob for being on with Dr. Stan every week. It's really an education for all of us. But
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need.
For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable costs. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
While a system of law and order breaks down, the American people, most people are good, and they're going to, at least a majority of them, or almost a majority, will realize what's going on and hold the people who created this whole situation accountable. There's a growing awareness of the fact that there is a brotherhood of darkness. People don't understand who all of the people are, nor do they understand the spiritual implications of what's going on, but they are learning, and we find more and more people every day going to our programs and similar programs and learning the facts. Herman, thanks very much for calling. And right now we've got to go to Grant up in Spokane, Washington. Our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I sense there is a general awakening. Grant, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I've got a couple. It's just an interesting thing looking at the, I look at a site called CoinInfo. Sometimes it shows sort of a chart, and they have a little banner going across, and they had some news from the International Monetary Fund about what their expectation is about our economy. Are you familiar with that one?
Well, what do they have, to say, Grant?
Well, it said that the Chinese were going to surpass us in about 4 years. It sort of said the end of the American dominance in the world.
Well, it is estimated that, in 4 to 6 years that their economy will be larger than the American economy, and I don't think there's any question. It will be about $18 trillion at that time, and there'll be about $19 trillion, so they will surpass the American economy in a relatively short period of time, putting America into the second largest economy in the world. And it is although because we have helped the Chinese do it. They never could have done this on their own. It is the traitors in our country whose loyalty is not to America but to this internationalist dream that are causing this to come about. Anything else you wanted to say, Grant?
I was just looking at these graphs that's showing down, starting up, where they started at. Now it's down around $45 an ounce or so. How far down are they able to suppress on a temporary basis? You say they're sort of losing some of their leverage now because of all the buying demand that's going across worldwide. The gold and silver graphs look almost identical as far as the dips and the timings on those. So it's coordinated to me.
Well, the upside is not coordinated. They run together. The downsides are coordinated by the United States government and others. And they're going to continue to do that as long as they can, because gold and silver being monetary metals are the antithesis of what they want to do, and that is they've looted America and the American people, and now they're going to move on and have a international monetary unit or a new world reserve currency. And so they don't want to, if they can help it, have a gold backing on that currency. And what they don't seem to understand is you can't shove down the world's throat another currency that's going to collapse like the last one, because it's fiat, has no backing. And so if you think along those lines, you'll realize that they're really in a tough position, even though they're not going to admit it to you or usually admit it in anything that they write or say.
Well, Bob, we hear that the BRIC nations, that is, of course, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, seem to be moving towards a separate reserve currency, talking about using their currencies over commerce between those nations and replacing the dollar as the primary currency of the world. Do you see that happening in the near future, and what will that mean as far as the average American if the dollar loses its reserve status?
Well, first of all, I do see that happening, unless there is a meeting and there's revaluation and devaluation of currencies, as well as a default multilaterally. After that, it could be the dollar again, or it might be something else. We don't know. What we do know is they want to change. But people are not going to accept a non-backed currency. They're just not going to do it.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
John from Spokane, the others, Frank from Salinas. But before we get to them, Bob, I want to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the International Forecaster and get your publication twice a week.
Well, the Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays. runs around 40 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. And everything that you need to know every week is in that publication. You can get a free copy by going to theinternationalforecaster.com. TheInternational, FOREcaster.com. You can also go to www.intforecaster.com, intforecaster.com. If you have a question, and we answer everyone, if you'd like a copy of either, or if you like a report on our recent Gold and Silver Share recommendations, all you have to do is email us at Bob, B-O-B, at intforecaster.com. That's Bob at intforecaster.com. And for those of you who would like to call toll-free, that number is 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right. Once again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Chinese economy is facing real problems because, of course, their economy is overheated. They're having inflation much higher than it's been discussed. They're doing everything they can to cut back on their economy. As they do that, of course, they're throwing more and more people out of work. But Chinese products are getting too expensive. Labor costs have gone up in China. And if you're getting, say, clothing or other products that are manufactured in China and you're looking at the price, they've gone up significantly, partly because of the labor costs overseas and certainly in Southeast Asia and in China, and partly because the dollar's been dropping in value. But the whole world monetary system is facing collapse. Certainly, there are terrible problems over in Europe, especially with their pig nations, Portugal, Ireland, Italy, Spain, Greece. They're all having serious financial problems, and there just is not enough money over there in Germany and France and Austria to solve all of these problems without actually bankrupting those nations. So the monetary system is really on the verge of collapse all throughout the world. Certainly South America is doing fairly well. Africa is doing fairly well. But here in the United States and Europe, where we've overheated our economies, where we face terrible problems, not only from the point of view of production, but also from the stability of our currency. Well, right now, let's go to John, who's calling us from Spokane. John, you have a question for Bob? And again, once again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, John. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Dr. Stan. Your previous caller, if he just goes up on a search engine like Startpage or something like that and types in Wizard of Oz allegory, there are answers to his questions on that. And it explains the full allegory on what was meant, like his original question as well. You know, about the Wizard of Oz,
right,
the connection with gold and the little people and all that stuff.
Good thought. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask Bob, it seems I've already heard things such as where some of the socialists here in America are starting to educate even junior high school kids that, you know, the 1% of the wealthy are not being productive and this type of thing. And so they're already sort of grooving them into revolution and what have you. And I know that there will be that hunger and discontent and what have you. Do you think that even when things completely unwind, that these people have a way of, metaphorically speaking, sort of controlling the explosion, like in an atomic explosion, like with control rods, as opposed to just a bomb and an explosion? Do you think they have a way of controlling this, or do you think it's more like that guy on Ed Sullivan who gets too many plates up in the air spinning, and eventually they all come tumbling down? I just want to get your thoughts on that.
I, I think they have a number of irons in the fire. They're coming from a whole lot of different directions because they control so many entities. They have substantial amounts of money. And what they're doing was really put in place in 1913. And then when we had Bretton Woods in 1944, it was sort of the piece de resistance. And the idea was to build up the U.S. dollar and then rip it down, and that they're in the process of doing, and creating chaos financially and economically. And the reason for that is to bring about a world war and at the same time force people to accept the concept of world government. And we've discussed that many times here on the show. And that's really what they're after. And if it entails wiping out two-thirds of the people in the world, well, they don't care about that. They're willing to do that. And so basically that's where it's all headed. Yes, you're right about the socialists and their ideas of, you might call it, envy. And that envy is played upon in order to make them enemies of the state, so to speak. And the communists do the same thing, and now the fascists are doing it, which are in Washington. And it's in both parties, incidentally. And so this move in that direction is going to continue. And yes, we can inform the people, but I think, and I've said this before in the program, I think Americans, generally speaking, have lost their ability to appeal to the elected representatives because they're all bought off, with minor exception, and the court system. And when you put the two of them together, you've got kind of a stone wall for the public. And when you have that and there's no recourse, then what you have is chaos. And that's what we have, and that certainly can be expected. That's probable that will happen.
But I really think one very important fact is the fact that this whole world socialist movement is financed by people of great wealth who want to break down the existing social structure so they can take over. You go back and you study the background of the French Revolution. Who created it? It was wealthy people like the Duke d'Orléans and the Marquis de Sade and other people of great wealth. You go and you study the Russian Revolution. Who financed the Russian Revolution? Why, very wealthy people in the United States and in England. I'm speaking of Lord Milner and Mr. Robbins, and certainly the story is told in my book. You can read it in Brotherhood of Darkness, and how Lenin was actually financed in part by the Federal Reserve System. And certainly you study all these revolutions, most of them are produced by people of great wealth. Why? Because, of course, they want to replace the existing social structure with one that's so-called democratically elected, and then they can buy the politicians and they can buy the judges. That's why we need, of course, to make our system work. If we destroy this system, I'm sure the system that replaces will be far worse than what we have, exactly as is going to happen in the Near East and the Middle East when they overthrow the existing corrupt structures and replace it with an even more corrupt system headed by the Muslim Brotherhood, which has been financed from its inception by, of course, the American intelligence agencies, but, of course, very, very few Muslims and very few of the idealists and very few of the revolutionaries understand who's really behind the revolutionary movement they're supporting. Okay, anything else you want to say, John, before we let you go?
Well, one last one. Let's say, for example, they do all this and then it does go to war. It doesn't make sense to me that it would be a nuclear war, because if they do want to create a one-world government and there's, you know, a worldwide nuclear war, the planet's going to be uninhabitable.
Bob, you want to
I think you have a good, very good point there. And I think they will try to do what they're going to do without using nuclear weapons. But, desperate people do desperate things. And we can't count on that. And neither can they. Nobody knows how it's going to turn out eventually. But precluding a nuclear war, a more conventional war, would be more acceptable to everybody. But you're right. If they have nuclear war, the world may be uninhabitable.
Or at least I think they may kill off two-thirds of the world's population. But you see, these people really want to eliminate large parts of the world's population. John, do you have access to a computer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, go to my website, radioliberty.com. Read my January 2008 newsletter, January 2008 newsletter, the Sybil Edmonds story about how the American intelligence agencies transferred nuclear technology and wherewithal to Pakistan. I mean, did you ever wonder how a third-rate nation like Pakistan was ever able to get nuclear weapons?
Oh, yeah, and I followed that story, and I'm familiar with that. It appears to me, and I wanted to get you guys' feedback on this, that nuclear weapons primarily are used as a threat, like so they can play their merchants of fear, just like a boogeyman terrorist or the enemy, the best enemy money can buy. So you talk about the ultimate terror weapon would be nuclear war, but then is it something, it's like as a, you know, a gun held to your head getting you to go ahead and pay the ransom? Do you really think that they're going to pull the trigger? That's really what I'm thinking. I think if they're going to kill off two-thirds of the population, I would think that biologicals or chemicals or, like you said, if it gets to the point of riots and we kill each other off, I think that's more their style.
Well, I hope and pray you're right. God bless, and thanks so much for calling.
Okay.
Let's go to Frank, who's calling from Salinas. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And hi, Frank, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Hi, a question. I have some gold stock held in safekeeping in an account with Bank of New York and some with Morgan Bank. Does that make sense, or should I get those out and put them in a brokerage account?
Well, I would prefer to see the people who are in gold and silver shares, especially if they have margin accounts, to not be there at those institutions. They don't have a margin account, doesn't make any difference. What's in there belongs to you. The reason why one would talk about margin is that if you do have that kind of an account, they can hypothecate the securities, and that means that they can lend them so that people can use them to collateralize short positions. But I think people who are in gold and silver shares should be with a broker who specializes in them, knows all about them, and when you talk to them, they know what you're talking about. Someone at the Bank of New York or Morgan, they don't know. They don't care about that. They're interested in selling you other products. And that's the way it's become. So anybody who wants a broker who specializes, all they have to do is email me at bob@intforecaster.com. And I'll give you the name of a broker. And we don't have any financial ties with anybody for anything, anywhere. The only people who pay anything are the people who subscribe. And so I would recommend that. Holding stocks in a brokerage account is fine. There's never been any problem, and there won't be.
All right, Frank, does that answer your question?
Yes. Do you have time for one more?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, if we have a financial economic collapse and it goes on for 6 months or longer, Will there be any kind of government that will be able to provide food and essential services to the general public?
Well, there's too many people in the country, and they can't feed everybody. And they will feed, you know, the people who are working with them. And the public might get fed, but I rather doubt it. They just don't have enough supplies.
And basically, one time we did have massive food supplies here, supplies of wheat and other basic staples. They've done away with all of those things. For some strange reason, we used to have all sorts of medical supplies and civilian defense programs, you know, for the general public. We no longer have those. We have them for the elite. We have underground bunkers for the elite. We do not have them for the public as a whole, and we have to ask, why would that be? Anything else, Frank?
I thought there was like a government mandate that said we had to have like a 2 years' supply of grain in storage.
Well, what about that, Bob? Well, didn't we have a mandate at one time, and did they just sort of ignore that? What's happened?
Well, right. They just ignore anything they don't want to go along with. It's something that they do all the time.
And I really
would think there were no rules at all.
And I think there are no rules. All that wheat has been shipped overseas, Frank. Yes, it's the rules on the book, but lots of rules and regulations and laws on the book, and they ignore them. I mean, who are you going to report it to?
Thank you very much.
God bless, and thanks so much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble. You really must understand that. We do not have adequate supplies of food. Certainly, there are food riots all throughout the Near East and the Middle East because the prices are going up. And certainly, as more and more Chinese are coming into the middle class, they're consuming more and more food. And certainly, China's becoming an exporter, an importer of soybeans and other the basic grains. One of the largest importers in the world. We'll be right back. Well, Bob, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I think something that's...
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden.
A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Right now. And they would have balanced the problem up. But it's not going to go away. The loss is a colossal. Just like in America.
Well, it's going to be an exciting time. Our guest has been Bob Chapman. He'll be back with us next week. But we are seeing the demise of the monetary system of the United States and of Europe, and suddenly China is having very, very real problems as well. And, of course, the price of gold and silver is going through the roof. There are massive debts. There is no sign at all that Congress is going to do anything about those massive debts. The major banks are sitting on probably $3 trillion. The corporations are sitting on a couple of $1 trillion. They're all in on it together. They're not investing it. They're strangling our economy. Release that money, we'd be back, certainly, and very prosperous. But because the banks and the corporations and the Fed all tie in together into what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, it seems that they're in the process today of strangling our economy. And they're doing a pretty good job of it. Thanks very much, Bob. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
That's right. I'll be here, and thank you for listening.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, that was Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster. Fascinating source of information. We look forward to seeing his publication twice every week on Wednesday and Saturday. Now, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. To understand what's going on, you need, of course, to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need, of course, to listen to my talk, The Forbidden Secret, and it comes with a syllabus. You need to listen to my talk, The Dark Secret. It comes with a syllabus. And because it goes into the background of the spirits of forces which are behind what's going on today. These things are not just happening, and it's not simply the plans of men, but there are spiritual forces behind everything going on at the present time. We live in a material world, but there is a mystical world. We live in a visible world, but there is an invisible world. Get our material, understand what's going on, and then make preparations for yourself and your family, and try to help us get the information out. Now, we do have, of course, many other books and videos and DVDs. We recommend very, very strongly the DVD, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, 4-hour, or 10-hour version. Why is that important? Because, of course, many of the people in the music industry who've had great wealth and fame have died at a very young age. And many of them have openly acknowledged the fact that they have made an agreement with the devil. And you need to get this information. You look at the Beatles, for instance, album Dr. Pepper, I guess, was anyway. There you'll see a picture there of Aleister Crowley, along with a lot of other faces. Why did they have Aleister Crowley on this most famous of the Beatles' albums? Why, of course, because Aleister Crowley was a Satanist. And if you understand that so many of the people who are involved in the music industry are involved with the satanic movement, and there really is a satanic movement out there, and this is why you need to get our material to understand it's not imaginary, that it's real, and there really is a spiritual battle taking place today. And, of course, if we are going to counter this, we can certainly work politically, and we should. We can certainly work economically and culturally and financially and educationally. But it's a spiritual battle, and we're going to have to counter this with spiritual forces on our side. And, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders, our ministers, for Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and the other people involved in the battle. But please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of a very unusual human being. You know, we often say, well, you know, the world's in terrible shape, but what can I do? I'm just one person. But one person can, with determination, make a great deal of difference. And, of course, we're going to be talking to in this next hour, did make a great deal of difference in the world. He was a young man. He was actually working for the U.S. Public Health Service while he was waiting to get into law school and working at the Public Health Service office there in San Francisco. He discovered that there was a genocidal program being carried out by the U.S. Public Health Service. He just stumbled into this thing by accident. And I'm going to let you hear Peter Buxton's story. We've had him on before. We have it in a four-tape set called Tuskegee. But Peter Buxton is the man who blew the story on one of the most explosive, really vile experiments ever carried out by the U.S. Public Health Service, a genocidal program that ended up killing literally hundreds of black men, in my estimation, intentionally, because they wanted them to die, and they actively withheld treatment from them so they could get them to die, so they could autopsy them. And you say, well, that couldn't really happen, not in America. But are you absolutely certain? Peter, you tell the story.
Well, Dr. Stan, I must first quibble a little bit with terminology. Let me start with the word genocidal. To me, genocidal has a stricter and a more harsh meaning than the bad things that went on in Tuskegee. To me, genocidal is intended to wipe out the genes, the parents and the children, and all the children ever to be born from those people. There was something else at work there. You have to go back further than the study itself to see what was going on. One of the things that was going on in the 1920s, before this all began, was a drastic fall in the percentage of live births among black people in the South. And there was actually economic concern in the agricultural industry and in the cotton industry in the South. Who's going to pick the cotton? They did not at that time have the huge combines that they use now. There's much less reliance on hand picking under the hot sun and cotton picking time today. But in those days, it was a major economic issue, and that was something that brought it to the attention of the Public Health Service. And, of course, one of the reasons for the miscarriages of so many children, so few live births, was that in the South there was a large percentage of the population, white and black, the figures are not that good, but I think the greatest percentage found in a nationwide study under the Surgeon General of the time, Surgeon General Taran, P as in Peter, A-R-R-A-N, did an enormous job of educating the public in the 1920s, late 20s and early 30s. And he let people know that we had to fight diseases nationwide, that a poor person in a poor part of town could have a disease, tuberculosis, or syphilis.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Peter, you go right ahead with the story.
Sure.
You were talking about, of course, that a lot of poor people had tuberculosis and syphilis, and go ahead.
Yes. And the disease could exist in the poor part of town on Monday, and by Tuesday or Wednesday, it could be in the good or educated or the political part of town. That quickly, it could be transferred. And we who worked in public health at the time that I did in the 60s and 70s, briefly, I worked there for 3 years about before going to law school. Anyway, we knew this and we saw it for ourselves. And one of the things that had to happen was diseases had to be attacked one at a time. They had to be found. The heaviest concentration should be attacked. The best diseases, the best medication should be used against those diseases. And where nobody else could pay for it, perhaps in the 1920s, in the boom times, it could be paid for by government. But when the crash came in 1929, everything was cut back, like we see it happening today. And so something happened, and here's where I quibble with the word genocide. Something else happened in Atlanta, Georgia, one day. A couple of doctors arrived there to give a big presentation of a statistical study of syphilis that had been done in Oslo, Norway, by the Norwegian health authorities. Now, starting around the time of the late 1890s, early 1900s, the Norwegians had started quarantining everybody who was diagnosed with syphilis. They were essentially put in a sort of a high-grade prison. Everybody had one room to themselves, more or less, and a sort of the ability to walk around wherever they wanted inside the prison. But for the rest of their life, they were in prison. That was the harsh reality of the inability to treat at that time. In the next decade or two, the early forms of chemotherapy arrived, the first one being arsenic, of all things. Who would have thought that if you diluted arsenic far enough down, just far enough, you could inject that into a patient with syphilis, and if you did it just right, it would kill the syphilis spirochetes that caused the disease.
And hold that thought, Peter. We'll be back here in just a moment with Peter Buxton. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Peter is describing that in Norway, why, of course, they actually had a program over there. Oh, where, of course, if you had syphilis, you were put in prison and you were kept there and until you died, because, or at least in quarantine until you died. This was before there were treatments for syphilis. And then, of course, they developed the treatment where they would give very low dose arsenic, a low dose enough not to kill the patient, but high enough to kill the spirochete. And now we had our initial treatments for syphilis. This was in the 1930s. Pick up the story there, please.
Thank you. It actually began before the 1930s, but It was very tricky, and only the best doctors could do it fairly safely. And when it was expanded to large programs, there was generally a known death rate for that treatment. Also, people could have drastic side effects, you could call them today, teeth falling out, hair falling out, and other things that would scare the daylights out of the patients, and they would simply disappear and only have a part of the treatment, and thus were still contagious patients out there among the rest of us. So it was a pretty terrible problem, but the Norwegian doctors came to Atlanta to the Communicable Disease Center there, now called the Centers for Disease Control, same initials, and they presented their findings. They had gone through the carefully kept medical records on each of these patients. They were observed from their admission to what was called a sanatorium, not a prison, although it was sort of, it was like an asylum. And they were, the records were carefully kept. All of the patients had died, and the doctor said, well, why don't we go through these records? And they did, and they found a number of significant findings as to how many men or how many women had insanity or heart disease as a complication of the disease syphilis. And so that was very valuable diagnostic information. And so the doctors at the CDC said, my God, these Norwegian doctors have made their names in medicine. They obviously will go on to be heads of departments back home in Norway. And there was professional envy there. This isn't generally written about. It's something that I have picked up over the years repeatedly from speaking to other doctors and people who had been in the public health service. And so one of the first things that happened, and it's described very well in what I consider to be one of the key books on the revolution in medical ethics that came out of the exposure of this study. The book is entitled, and it's still in print, Bad Blood, The Tuskegee Syphilis Experiment by James H. Jones. Jim Jones is a colleague of mine and an old friend. I cooperated with him when he was getting the information. He was a graduate student at Georgetown in Washington, D.C., and he then went on to write this book, and he has become a recognized expert in the field. It's an excellent book of Southern history and of medical misadventure. And there is one chapter right in the middle of the book, a quotation. The title of the chapter is, quote, "It will either cover us with mud or glory." And as the doctors in Atlanta at CDC were setting up the study, one doctor wrote that to another saying, well, you know, but this is all very good, but, you know, if the wrong people get the wrong idea about this, we're going to look pretty silly.
But, of course, what they were doing, this was a plan to identify black men who had syphilis and then to withhold a therapy from them until they died, and then study the course of the disease in blacks. So the Norwegians had studied the course of the disease in whites. They wanted to see how syphilis would ravage the black population, and, of course, this was started about 1931. Incidentally, I do have an interview with Dr. James Jones. We have a four-tape set on Tuskegee, and he has 2 hours there, and so does Peter Buxton, because these are the two key figures in this whole incredible story of the Tuskegee study established in 1931 to identify the blacks who had syphilis, about 400 of them, to follow them along until they died and autopsy them, see how syphilis ravaged their bodies. And, of course, initially treatments were not very good. They had arsenic, they had mercury, neither none of these were good treatments. But by 1941, they had penicillin. And when penicillin became available, They refused to use it, and they did everything they could to block treatment because they wanted the men to progress with their disease and see how it ravaged their bodies. But it was all in the name of science. It was all in the name of science. Go right ahead, Peter.
Well, I've got to quibble with you a little bit again.
Go right ahead.
Let me go on. Why were only black people used? That's a very good question. Were there any studies on white people? It turns out that there were, but they haven't been fully researched and publicized yet. They may never get a lot of publicity. It will take a good book to do that. I picked up on this down in Tuskegee during a celebration for the last living men from the study of Tuskegee. And while I was there, a local doctor came by and he and I were chatting. Now, you should know that when the study started in 1931-32, there were basically no black doctors in the area. But now if you go there, there are basically no white doctors right around Tuskegee. Tuskegee is a very small agricultural town with a serious university. Tuskegee Institute, now as Tuskegee University, is a very serious place with a wonderful campus. Now, this doctor told me a story that shocked me. I was just getting ready, actually, to leave from Atlanta, near 2 hours' drive away, from Atlanta to fly overseas. And one of the places I was going was Poland. And he told me something. He said, you know, when I was a resident, I worked in a hospital, and I want to say in Indianapolis, but that may not be exactly where it was, somewhere in that area. He said, I was in this hospital, and there was one ward where whenever I would walk by, the patients would call out to me in this one word over and over again, and I didn't know the word. He said, it's in Polish. And I wrote it down, and when I got to Poland, I asked the first friend I spoke to, and he said, my God, he said, that's the word for pain. And yes, these people had pain. They apparently were being watched and kept in a ward, and some sort of an experiment was going on, and apparently they were either all or mostly Caucasian. So the simplicity of the interpretation of Tuskegee falls somewhat by the wayside, not to in any way excuse the wrongs that were done, and they were done. And you're right about one thing. It was an autopsy-oriented study. The doctors who did it were stupid enough to put that in it. Write those words in it, an autopsy-oriented study. They wanted to get people on the pathology table and do an autopsy to see how much heart disease there was, knowing roughly when the person was infected, knowing what other diseases they may have had, etc. But there are other things you need to know. The doctors doing those autopsies were contracted with the Centers for Disease Control. They were taken from Tuskegee Institute. There is a hospital there. Andrew Hospital is still the place where students from Tuskegee get treated for diseases and injuries. And at that time, Andrew Hospital was smaller. It had a small black staff of instructors and nurses, and both medicine and nursing and other related studies, x-ray and all of that, were taught there. And when a patient died, when one of the so-called volunteers for the study, and they were not volunteers, they were men who were deluded and misled about what was going on. I'll explain that in a minute. When they died, they would be brought in there, and one of the staff from Andrew Hospital would be paid a modest sum from federal funds for doing the autopsy. Now, what was the nature of misleading that went on? You have to know how the CDC doctors picked up the men from Tuskegee. They piggybacked on a big federal program that somehow the money was scraped up to do it. there was at that time a war on syphilis, although the term really wasn't used then. It was a national priority like a war. And having come out of the horrors of World War I, and there are plenty besides the war itself, starvation and other things, disease, there was a war mentality in the 20s and the 30s. Everybody was a veteran of World War II, rather World War I. In the 1930s, everybody remembered it. Everybody had in some way given up things and suffered. And so people knew it was a national priority like a war. And so doctors were not really carefully watched about what they did. They had a pedestal that they stood upon. And they could do a lot of things. And one of the things that the doctors at CDC did was they said, I hear music. Should I break for a minute?
Okay, fine. Well, because Peter Buxton is talking about this study. It was primarily on, it was the study of blacks with syphilis starting in 1931-32. These blacks were recruited. They were known to have syphilis. But the significant thing was, of course, that they intentionally withheld treatment even when effective treatment was there. And, of course, the black men didn't realize that. They thought they were getting treated. And they lied to them.
They did.
Go right ahead, Peter.
Thank you. What was going on?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Know when it came about, and then after a few weeks it would go away, and then they would move into the secondary or tertiary form of syphilis. That changed, of course, when here in the United States, why we began giving large doses of antibiotics to our animals, and prior to the slaughter of the beef cattle, that antibiotic remained, some of it remained in the meat, so that basically, of course, you did not get the clear a chancre of syphilis initially. So everything has changed in disease because, of course, of the pattern we have of raising our beef cattle now, and, of course, because of the heavy antibiotics that we're all exposed to. So we've actually changed the appearance of many diseases because of that. But pick up the story, Peter.
Thank you. Anyway, to continue on with this, at that time, in 1931-32, the doctors all knew that there were a lot of patients with the primary chancre that you mentioned, C-H-A-N-C-R-E, chancre. And it was very pronounced and scary. I remember a terrified sailor I had to interview one day. I was doing interviews when I worked for the CDC. And he had boarded a ship at Antofagasta in Chile, but he had been fooling around for a couple of days on the docks at Antofagasta. And when he was halfway to San Francisco, he got something terrifying. It wasn't just an ordinary painless chancre. He had a secondary infection in it, and it scared the daylights out of him. Frankly, it looked like a dog had bitten part of it off. He was terrified, and I had to tell him what the doctor had already told him. Look, you're going to be okay. We have just given you a huge dose of penicillin. This sore will be gone in a month. It'll be a lot better in a week. And he didn't really believe me, but he went off, and he was cured. We knew what we had pumped into him. But let me go back to how it all got started. Some money came from a foundation. There wasn't much money around, but enough was scraped up to do a temporary six-month study. And when they did this, they wrote up the report for their superiors at the CDC, and they said, we have found a gold mine of pathology. We have found symptoms. We're beginning to get answers for our big questions. What were the big questions? One, many specialists said, oh, yes, the black race and the white race have different rates of symptoms. Black people, some doctors said, have more insanity than white people, but white people have more heart disease than black people. And other specialists said, no, you're wrong, it's the other way around. And they argued, but they had no proof. They got what they thought were the initial glimmers of proof that they needed. There was something else going on. The technology of X-ray diagnosis was getting better. Various different machines with different powers and different abilities to focus were being used, and the question came up, wait a minute, we're losing a lot of people to aortic embolism, to a rupture of the aorta, and various different kinds of heart malformations, etc. Maybe we can spot these by X-ray. Well, they didn't know then how to use the dyes that the radio opaque dyes that we use today. You get a big shot of one of those in your groin, and it goes right up to your heart, and the next thing the doctor sees is exactly what's going on in your heart. They couldn't do that then, but they thought they were able to do something like it. So at the end of the 6 months, the doctors that were doing this test wanted to continue, not just to kill some black people, but they wanted to make names in medicine. This is my read on it. And I knew some of these people, and I had a confrontation once with a number of them. That confrontation is briefly described in Jim Jones' book. But should I lay off for a minute here?
You go right ahead. I'll tell you when to stop.
Thank you, Stan. Anyway, what happened then was they continued the study, And they changed its nature. They got some more funding, put it together, and they argued, look, we have this gold mine of pathology. We need to keep this up. We started something here. It's a shame to let it go to waste. And at that point, they started changing things. At no point did they make any effort that I have heard of, either from the people around Tuskegee, whom I got to know a few of them, and some of them quite well.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. Well, Peter, go right ahead. You said that you got a chance to meet some of these people there at the in Tuskegee who were involved in these tests on the people. These were men who were known to have syphilis, and they were, of course, trying to track the course of the disease. But they did have treatments, and they were not treating them. Is that correct?
That is correct, and nobody expressed the outrage better than a person who is in danger of being forgotten, and so I must use his name. He was somebody I held in high respect. He was one of the last of the men of Tuskegee to die. He was probably one of the last 15 or 20, and he was an extremely exceptional man. Basically poorly educated sharecropper, a black man from the area outside of Tuskegee. And he had an exceptional gift for speaking. If you see ever any segments of the apology given in the East Room of the White House by President Clinton, you should know that I was probably the only invited Republican there. I was surrounded by Democrats, including my friend Jim Jones and others, and people that I had worked to some minor degree with. And a number of very strange things happened at that point. First of all, Bill Clinton is an exceptional orator himself, and he got up and gave an exceptional apology. I was part of the group that a year before asked for that apology, starting that in the previous administration of George H.W. Bush, but he was just on his way out and the election came and Mr. Clinton came in. And then the key person there, the person without whom there could not have been an acceptance of the apology, got up to give his speech, and that was Herman Shaw. At about the age of 89 or 90, I'm not sure at this point, he got up and essentially without notes, I think he had some brief notes and that was all, but he knew what he was going to say, and it was a now nearly lost, an exceptional American speech. And if you want to really get something interesting for your listeners, find this because...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Peter Buxton, a man who broke the story on the Tuskegee experiment where they recruited some 400 black men with syphilis and intentionally withheld treatment from them so that they could autopsy them so they could see how syphilis ravaged their bodies. Of course, this was all done in the name of science. Peter is describing the apology given by Bill Clinton, President Clinton, there in the White House, and to the few survivors of this macabre study done by our public health services in the name of science. And Peter is describing the speech was given by one of the black men, a poor sharecropper. He's in his late 80s now, but he's been invited. You know, they are going to accept the apology from the American president for this a vile experiment that had been carried out. What did the gentleman say?
It was an exceptional speech, and he spoke about who were we, and he had read in one of the newspaper accounts that many of the men were just low-life people who hung around in juke joints, J-U-K-E joints, like where you had a jukebox and a bar and cheap drinks and probably nothing was licensed and the sheriff would come and close it down once a month. That was a juke joint, and they were common in the 1920s and 30s, and the people who hung out there were not the hard-working agricultural men of the Tuskegee area. They were a lower type of drifters and bums and who knows what. And Mr. Shaw said, we didn't hang out in juke joints. We went to church regularly. We tried to get what we could for our children by way of education. We weren't those people. And I think that was a very good point, and he made many others. It was an exceptional speech, and it was filmed and recorded by people there in the White House. Part of the White House staff probably has it in an archive. There is probably a film archive at the White House, and people could get a copy of that. I wish they would. I have seen like a 30-second clip of Mr. Herman Shaw's speech, but that's all I've ever seen, as though it didn't matter, and it did. And why else did it matter? First of all, because when the story broke in 1971, there was an immediate shock that went through the administration in Washington, and oh, do I have some good stories about that. But one of the first things that any administration does when they are suddenly blindsided by something stupid that government has been doing for years and they didn't know about it, they have to come up with a cure within a couple of days of any sort. They have to have a program ready to sell to the American public, and that administration did. Well, how do they do that? There are a lot of studies constantly being made in Washington by various different parts of the government and also by non-governmental institutions and foundations. If you want to run for office, you can approach foundations with money and say, prepare within a week for me three different speeches on three different major subjects, and you can pick your subjects and they'll prepare that for you. That was done for the administration. And the administration said, we're going to have institutional review boards to stand between human beings being used in medical experiments and the doctors or hospitals or medical, pharmaceutical industries that are doing these studies. And so these institutions were built up. They are essentially bureaucracies, and nobody ever looks at this one because it says, well, without us, there'd be another Tuskegee next month. Well, there might be anyway. I'm not impressed by institutional review board.
Well, Peter, let's get back, though, to how you found out about this study going on and what you did to try to bring this out. Now, this was late 1960s. You discovered this, and, of course, you were outraged to find out that there was this program that was designed to intentionally withhold treatment from these men, making them think they were getting treatment when they really weren't, and because they wanted them to die. Now, but it was all in the name of science, of course, so they could autopsy them. Basically, how did you find out about it? What did you do when you learned that this study was going on and that certainly all the people in the public health service knew about it and nobody thought it was wrong to withhold treatment for syphilis when it was readily available to these black men and should have been, and they were being deceived?
Oh, there's so much to tell. I was working in a clinic in San Francisco as part of a joint federal and city health department program to cut down on the amount of both syphilis and gonorrhea in San Francisco. The city was doing both diseases. The federal program essentially was focused only on syphilis. But I was I was getting a city mileage check and a federal paycheck. It was one of those odd situations. And it was lunchtime, and I'd gone out and got my favorite sandwich, and I came into the coffee room, and there were two of the senior nurses sitting there with one of the senior public health officers, very nice man in his probably late 30s, early 40s. And he was just finishing telling the ladies a story, the nurses. And he was saying, well, and the patient had become insane. He had syphilis, and his family didn't know what to do. He was becoming unmanageable, and so they took him to a private physician. They gathered up enough money, and it seemed that the family had moved some distance away from Tuskegee, and that physician happened to be a white physician. Took one quick test and did an examination and talked to the family and very quickly diagnosed the person as having late syphilis and immediately treated him with a heavy dose of penicillin. And the next thing that happened, I'm quoting the senior health service officer now, he said the next thing that happened was that that physician had the local county medical authorities and the physicians group from the area, both groups jumped all over him saying, now look what you've done. You've spoiled one of the volunteers in the Tuskegee study. He's treated now, and we can't get the results we need when he passes away.
But he wasn't a volunteer. These people were not told what was going on. They wanted them to die, and they withheld treatment. Go right ahead.
By changing the name, you can make things turn upside down, and no one notices. And that's what was done.
And so you found out about it, and then you suddenly you wrote to the CDC, and you said, this is wrong. What motivated you? I mean, everybody else knew about it. The doctors knew about it. The nurses knew about it. The county medical societies knew about it. The leaders of organized medicine knew about it. But everybody just accepted the fact it was perfectly all right to target these black men. You know, was it because they were black, or was it because in the name of science, or was both?
I'm glad you asked, Dr. Stan. Thank you. I'm a child of the Holocaust, in a way. I was very much in a way. I was born in Prague, in Czechoslovakia, in 1937. That's just 1 year before Hitler forcibly took over the country of Czechoslovakia. My father saw what was happening, and he said, we have to leave, and we left, thankfully, in time. The people who laughed at us as we were leaving, many of them did not survive. That is a lesson that I saw personally. When I went back as an adult before and after the fall of communism, I saw what the Nazis did. I knew what the Nazis did. I speak German. I don't speak Czech, but I went back there and met with people and saw things and heard things. It was because of all of that, that at the time that this happened in the 1960s, I had already been through graduate school. I was familiar with the Nuremberg war crimes proceedings from having gone through them and researched certain parts of them. Writing papers for German history courses and things like that. And so when I heard that story, I thought, my God, here I am working with other guys with no badge, with no gun. All we had was our identification as public health service employees, basically a business card, and I could have produced other evidence if necessary, but we were going out into the worst part of town, and the best, and you never knew where you'd be from 1 hour to the next, and you'd have to go into a really run-down flop house with poor lighting. Sometimes you'd have to go at night to find people, and you'd go in, and there'd be three guys, you know, shooting up in the hallway, and they'd say, who are you? And I'd whip out my card, and I'd say, Public Health Service, I need to find Jerry, where is he? And generally, one of them would say, I'll take you to him. And they would. They'd be on my side because of what we did. But we didn't do what was done in Tuskegee. And that's why I did what I did. But now you've got me to something else. When I wrote up what I did, I wrote it up in two forms. one, I had to do a research paper every 2 months, and I wrote one up on this. And I compared what was being done to what the Germans had done in their medical experiments in Germany with concentration camp victims, and the comparisons were pretty shocking. That's why my background with the Nuremberg war crimes proceedings, I can still remember some of the key phrases.
Well, but what happened when you wrote to the CDC and told them that you thought what they were doing was immoral and wrong?
Several things. First, you need to know to whom did I direct the two letters that I wrote. One, I wrote to my boss's boss's boss, the guy, I wrote to the guy who signed my federal paycheck every month. And maybe it was every 2 weeks, but at any rate, I wrote to him directly as a citizen saying that I knew that this was going on and that I thought the men should be notified and this could not continue as it was. At the same time, I wrote in a different form a regular bi-monthly report comparing what was going on with things that were published in the CDC the journals as to, anybody above the age of 70 should be carefully looked at, but we should treat them. And about a Herxheimer reaction. I don't want to go into that, but when you treat somebody who's had syphilis a long time, they can get a reaction to it. And that was later used to justify the non-treatment of the men in Tuskegee, but not at the beginning. And one of the things you should know is the Public Health Service was proud of what they were doing in Tuskegee, and they were publishing every 10 years at least, and occasionally two in a decade, reports, technical reports on what they were finding, and isn't it nice, look at the gold mine of pathology we have here. And they also said that these volunteers are happy. Now, why were they happy? A, they were getting, quote, treatment for other diseases. Often, these men had what they called the pains or lumbago or various different things that we would today call arthritis or problems with old injuries. And so they would be given a large bottle, essentially, of a pink dilution of aspirin. And everybody felt better on taking that, and other members of the family would take it, and everybody was happy. And often, family members asked if they couldn't join the study. Wives and girlfriends and children, sometimes half-adult or adult children, would ask, can I join too? I'd like to see a doctor now and then. No, you can't. And something else happened. When a little more money came around, the CDC got the brilliant idea of calling the Tuskegee study a burial society. Well, unions and poor people in a certain area would sometimes get together and they would chip in a nickel a week or a dollar every few months or whatever they could, and careful records were kept, and when that person died, they had a decent funeral, and those were called burial societies. Now, there was a young African-American nurse who had graduated from the nursing school at Andrew Hospital on the Tuskegee Institute campus, now Tuskegee University. And when the crunch came after the 1929 crash, she lost her job working for the county as a health nurse, and she had to work taking in laundry and cleaning people's houses and whatever desperate thing she could do to earn a little money. And then suddenly a little money came in, and it came in the form of the foundation giving the initial amount of money to the CDC to start the study. And then when the study was continued, they knew they needed a public health nurse, a black public health nurse, and they bought her a car, and this lady was named Miss Rivers, and there was a play written about her, about Miss Evers, that's the name of somebody who also came from Tuskegee, a different person, a doctor. But Miss Rivers was the real person, and I have visited her grave in Tuskegee. She is literally a person from a Greek tragedy, a black woman who was working and called that work the joy of her life, working with the men of Tuskegee, keeping them on the straight and narrow, you know, giving them sound medical advice, don't drink too much, you know, eat healthy food where you can, see if you can grow your own, you know, this sort of thing. And at the same time, giving good advice to the women, you know, well, you're pregnant now, you need to do the following things. She knew what she was talking about, and she was a vital person in that community. And because of her, the so-called burial society was called the Nurse Rivers Burial Society. Now, this got to be quite an issue, and should I hold up for a minute?
No, you go right ahead.
Thank you. Anyway, so all of this became pretty well known. I found out a lot of it by reading information that I asked for from the publications department of the CDC. I had once a week I had to work in the office, that we all hated it. And one of our jobs was once a week we'd place a long distance call. That was a big deal then. And we'd place a call to CDC and do routine things and order more books and documents and things that we needed, and they'd be sent
out. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Go right ahead, Peter.
And so I asked, say, do you have any reports on this Tuskegee study? Sure, we've got some. What do you need?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades,
held for their syphilis because they wanted to autopsy them. That's what it was all about. Peter, we're out of time. We'll have to get you back again to actually tell the rest of the story, but basically, of course, it gets much more detailed. Peter has all sorts of contact. He gets called back to Washington, D.C. with the attitude, how dare you challenge, you know, we are the heads of the CDC. You aren't even a doctor. What right do you have to challenge us? But they were concerned enough to bring in a group of professors from all across the country. I think there were 11 or 12 of them. Only one felt that this was immoral to kill the black man. All the rest excused it in the name of science. Peter, we'll have to do it again sometime when you've got time. But thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, and wait till I can tell you my Teddy Kennedy story.
All right.
We'll
do this for another evening. God bless, and thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to get the whole story, Peter recorded this for us some years ago. We have a four-tape set on Tuskegee. We have a 2 hours with Peter Buxton, 2 hours with Dr. James Jones, who wrote the classic book, Bad Blood. It's the story of Tuskegee, a very important study because, you see, there was not just simply that one study. They carried out many studies at the time on the Yemeni children, on the ringworm children, the plutonium studies on children, and they're doing the same sort of thing today. Now, no, they were going down to Guatemala and intensively infected people in the prisons there with syphilis and gonorrhea to see how well the penicillin worked. Oh, they've apologized. Oh, we're so sorry. No, we're sorry if we got caught. Ladies and gentlemen, they're doing this for the American people today. A great experiment with water fluoridation, a great experiment putting bisphenol in all of the tin cans so you'll have bisphenol later levels and high estrogen levels in our male. Why do you think so many men have sexual impotence? Why do you think, of course, we have so many children with autism? They know what the mercury and the aluminum and the vaccines do. A great experiment on our entire population. You need, of course, to get my material on planned population control. You need to get our material on water fluoridation, on aspartame. You need to get our information on vaccines and certainly on mercury. One of the best sources of information is our DVD on aluminum, our DVD on mercury autism and the global vaccine agenda, both by Dr. David Ayoub. You need to understand they're poisoning the American people today. But most people aren't too concerned about what we did to the blacks. After all, it didn't affect us. But I will tell you what is going on today does affect you and your children. The DVD on aluminum toxicity, the DVD on mercury autism and the global vaccine agenda, which comes with a free CD-ROM, of course, that has literally several thousand pages of scientific studies showing how they not only poisoned our children in the past, they're poisoning them today because they took the mercury out of the childhood vaccines, but they left the mercury in vaccines that are given to children. And no sooner did they take the mercury out of the vaccines than they mandated that our children take influenza vaccine that contains mercury so that by the time they get to be 18 years of age, if they follow the CD mandates, our children will have twice as much mercury as they did before. They took the mercury out of the childhood vaccines because they're so concerned about the children. And why do you think we have twice the incidence of heart disease in the United States that the comparable groups in England have, and half again as much hypertension and diabetes? Why do you think we have certainly one in every 66 boys has autistic today and their lives are destroyed? Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And if you aren't concerned about Tuskegee, well, you need to get that four-tape set and so many things available from Radio Liberty. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 25 April 2011. It is Monday. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for being aware of what is happening in this world, as crazy as it may seem. Taking that information and helping others to prepare for who knows what. That's right. Who knows what. But it's all about just getting prepared. I don't know about you, but the tornado situation is pretty unnerving. Recently, what has been happening as this past weekend, we saw St. Louis get hit by a tornado. Do you know that only two major cities have been hit by tornadoes? Why is that? In fact, the Weather Channel is talking about, wow, how unusual for two major cities to get hit by tornadoes. What is it? I mean, does a funnel cloud, is it naturally attracted to some mobile home out in the middle of nowhere, Missouri, or why is it? Think about that.